Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today's title of our podcast is Sin, Save, Supplication, and Repeat. So Lauren, get us started. I know she has a huge surprise for us in this this week's teachings. Surprise for all of us. Okay, Lauren, go ahead.
Heavenly Father and all-seeing God, you sent your Son as a light to shine in our darkness. Help us to listen to what Jesus is saying to us and to act on your word so that rivers of living waters might flow from our hearts. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 Okay. So first I'm going to start us. The title of or the theme for this one is Sin, Slave, Supplication, Repeat. I named it that because as I was studying, you know, we talked about David and Babylon, how David fell and Babylon last week. And so today I want to talk about Solomon, David's son, the one who took over. And because through the Bible, as I was studying and getting ready for this, we see a theme in the Bible of sin, and then we become slaves to sin, and then we're, you know, supplication, we're crying out to God, he restores us, and then we fall again, you know, and it's just repeat. So sin, slaves, supplication, repeat. So remember with David started out great. He loved God and was obedient. You know, he led the people and God blessed him. And then we have Solomon, who also started out great. He asked for wisdom. And then God blessed him with riches too, not just wisdom, but riches too. And he knew David's story. He knew his father's story. So he was close to God. He knew that it was his duty to build the temple and that's where God would rest forever. And he loved God. He starts out loving God, and the same word was given to him as it was given to David. And it's make sure you don't have a lot of stuff. Don't count your men, you know, make sure that you don't marry a bunch of wives. And what does Solomon do? He marries a bunch of wives. He marries a bunch of foreign women. And he does it for political reasons, you know. So they turn his heart away and he begins to worship foreign gods, you know, and it says in scripture that he loves these women. So for David's sake, God delays his judgment, David's judgment on Solomon, but then delays Solomon's judgment until Solomon dies. So it's not, he didn't do all that without consequences because God calls him out on it. So when Solomon dies, God causes a civil war to break out because Solomon's sons, he has three sons and they're from the foreign wives. And so God tells them, I'm going to cause division, right? So he divides Israel, the kingdoms start falling apart and there's division and there's war. And so if we go back, we look, and so we have Eden, the fall of Eden, the promise in Moses, the fulfillment of the promise is the Exodus out of Egypt, the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. And then while Moses is in the mountain with God, the people get tired of waiting. They make their own God. You know, they build the golden cows. And then, make it to the promised land. Moses dies. They make it to the promised land, those who survive. Then it's the conquest of Joshua to keep the law after Moses died. But then the people stray after Joshua dies, the people stray again and they request a king. So there's the establishment of the monarchy. And then there's the monarchy under for Israel, which is under David and Solomon. And they enjoy a really nice time, an undivided monarchy for 120 years. But then they die and there's division and war. So Again, it's sin, slave, supplication, repeat. And this is through all the generations since Eden. So, and what we can see here that there's, you know, because all of these Moses, Joshua and David and Solomon, they were all there to judge and to lead, and they were never good enough. You know, they were never good enough. So ultimately, there wasn't a good enough leader or judge or king. And we see that there can't be, because all the prophecies since Genesis are pointing forward to the one who will come in Revelations. And ultimately, the king that is coming is Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize, or that don't know, that God is creating a new earth that's going to be perfect and without sin. And your only ticket to get there is going to be through Jesus. And that's what we've been saying all this time, you know, and that means repentance, repentance and getting right with God. So from there, I want to go to God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because yes, all that happened, you know, thousands of years ago, but God is still the same, you know, and the cycle is still the same. And all, you know, God promises to restore us when we fall back into sin, you know. So, but he's very clear, if you do this, then you'll be fine. But if you don't, there's going to be consequences. And what we don't see or we don't realize is, as we make mistakes or as we sin, you know, that the enemy is quick to provide solutions for those sins, but he doesn't disclose the consequences of when we choose the easy way out, you know, and when we don't go to God and we don't seek God to make things right and to be restored, to be forgiven, you know, and when we don't repent. So we buy into that instead of going, you know, instead of going to God for to get be fully restored. So if we think about where we are now, we're in our own exile. You know, we talked about Babylon. So we're, it's like we're in our own exile. There's very little evidence that we are God's people. We are, if you don't notice it already, we are facing the curse of God's judgment rather than his blessing. And we see it, you know, in the pandemic, we see it in the wars, we see it in the, you know, the storms, the weather and everything that's happening. It's almost as if, you know, it's another fall. Here we are in another cycle and here comes another fall or an invasion of something bigger and better that could be coming at any time. So, and, you know, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for us to see that times are changing and that things are changing, that they're only getting worse and that we're running out of time? Because God does say that at some point he will stop pursuing us. So.
And once that door closes, it doesn't, he won't open it.
No, he won't open it, you know, and it's, you know, that warning, he's already warned us of that disobedience and that's going to cause eviction from his tent. You know, we talked about that, from his covering. Mm-hmm. When we reject him, when we reject his rule, we are banished from his presence, you know, and we are not under his kingdom any longer. And we're living in an exile. We're choosing exile and living under our own Babylon. So, you know, if you don't already see that, and if you don't already recognize, if you're hearing this podcast, and this is a warning in itself, that you are running out of time, and things are, I've never seen things this bad. You know, things are pretty bad and pretty scary now. And even with all the, I mean, you can't turn on the news without seeing, you know, all the murdering and the, you know, all the killing and all the stuff that's going on.
And if you wonder where, well, maybe how would I know if God's calling me? Maybe through this podcast, by your right. Word, Reina, this is your calling. Turn to God if you haven't already.
Right. And start now, no matter, you know, start where you are. And that's what we've been saying. Start where you are and don't wait, you know? So And then what I have next is Songs of Songs. Unless y'all had other questions about what we were talking about right now.
When who said what caused division and war? Was that you said God told them?
God, yeah, because that's when he talked to Solomon, because he talked to Solomon. Eva, you had asked last time, how was Solomon talking to God? There was the prophets, but God did also speak to him. But God, and I don't remember if this instance was through a prophet or God actually speaking to himself, when God was telling them the consequences, that he tells them that's when he's going to divide the tribes, the 12 tribes.
Oh, okay.
And he's only going to keep that small piece. One of the sons was going to get the southern, and then the other one would get the rest of the tribes, the 11 tribes. And he only kept one tribe with one of the sons. Mm-hmm. So it was the north and the south.
Right.
Because I guess, like you said, that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we hear that in scripture, that this can actually be related to, and we see that in relationships, that he would say, I'm going to divide you. Is you're already heading
well,
the wrong
yeah,
way.
Right.
You know, yeah. I'm going to divide you, mm-hmm. and cause war between you so that you yeah. can come back.
And open your eyes. Yeah.
And open your eyes. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what's it going to take? You know, and that's when he says that. Because what's the scripture too, where he tells them, I'm going to turn, you know, mother against
daughter,
right? And father against yep. son, and mm-hmm. and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the, as I was studying this, one of the readings that I saw, it said that the Holy Spirit is, that God's always hovering, trying to find somebody who can, like, stand, that he can send, you know, to, because remember, he's trying to save everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's where he found David. And then, you know, and then when things are going bad again, then it's kind of like, remember in Genesis, where the Holy Spirit is hovering, searching. And then so he still does that, you know, and he does that time after time. Who can I send, you know? And so he finds David, and then he's searching again, you know, and then there's Solomon, and then he's searching again and trying to find different people to send, you know, and to send and to try and warn people, and to, like he did back then with the prophets, you know, and the disciples.
And Isaiah, too. Right.
Yeah, he's constantly, you know, the Holy Spirit is constantly hovering and searching for people to send to spread the word, because the time is, you are going to run out of time.
And so I think this is our time. I think he hovered. And I think between Nina, you and I, we each had our different times.
Right.
And yep. So we came together.
We came together. You know, we said, here we are, together. Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Send us.
But we were like, don't send us. And then we're like, okay, we'll go.
Okay,
yeah, because I think I told
after
you.
After he burned enough fire. Yeah.
Why is he calling me? What does he want? What does this mean?
I remember, like, you kept saying too, like, are you sure?
Are you sure?
You sure it's me? And I was like, yes. It made total sense to me. Like, yeah, I can see that, where he's constantly trying to find people, to send.
But many say no.
Many say no.
Because before he sends you, he's got to equip you and teach you and create that soldier, because you're going to take on a lot.
Right.
I think I got scared for a second, because, you know, when you read the Gospels and you hear how his disciples left everything. And I think I asked you, right, Lorraine, because sometimes I do ask some pretty, like, what kind of question is this? But I said, well, what does that mean? Like, do I have to leave my family? Like, do I have to go somewhere? She's like, no. What?
Because that's the you know, when I would teach the third graders, because I think you do it with honesty and, you know, an open heart, and that's what we need to go back to asking those questions, you know, because we think them, but we don't always have the courage to ask them. So I love that about you.
Yeah, and sometimes
you get me,
thinking. Sometimes he does, and that's where you get the missionaries and all those. He does sometimes ask you to leave, but unless I think you would know.
Yeah, and I think this lesson, I think, is really good. And I think...
Well, it's choosing, not so much leaving, but choosing him over everybody else.
Over everybody else. And that was a lesson I had to learn. Yeah, because I think that's where my judgment fell, like how I've fallen. Because I guess in the back of my mind, I knew, okay, God, but I never put him first. I put everybody else first. And I think this lesson with Solomon is a good one so we can help others in our old shoes, because it's like Solomon knew through his dad what to do.
And remember, he had all that wisdom. He had all that wisdom. And it's and
he's still good.
And I think, and you know what? I think he was one of those that he had to learn the hard way.
And I think that's everybody.
Like his father.
Yeah. And then had to go back. And then he's like, wait a minute. This is, you know, it's true. He could see all of that, you know, and he could pick up all the stuff that was happening and then go back and teach it, you know, because a lot of the wisdom in the Bible, you know, a lot of that comes from him.
Right. Right.
Although he made those mistakes, but he came back and he, you know, to teach.
Made it right. Yeah. So I just think that, this.
Well, and that we think we can't, you know, like, well, the Bible, that was 1,000 years ago or whatever, you know, we can't relate to that. Oh, no,
it all comes full circle, I think.
It does. And it's the same thing, you know, it's the falling into sin, the, you know, becoming a slave of that sin, and then supplication. And, you know, then we're over there begging and crying out, you know, asking God for help. But then it's repeat. We go and we, you know, some of us do learn, but then some of us keep going back to the same thing. And you really need to examine yourself, you know, where are you in that?
Or if you're in a good place with God and you have someone reaching out to you, don't, you know, ignore it, help them.
Right. How can you help? Yeah. And are you willing to say, God, send me? Or if the Holy Spirit, you know, picks you, are you willing to be that person that he can send to help someone else?
Right. Right. That's why it's very important to surround yourself with those Christian people. And
yes, you know, and there's more out there. I think there's more out there than we think, you know, because I never would have thought that I'd be sitting here with you ladies. Right. And then, you know, and as I talk to more people, you know, it's, you know, the group is growing and growing, and it's just that we didn't know, we're so lost, and we've lost so much of it that, that a lot of people don't know, but I think deep inside that, it's in there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He just has to find a way to pull it out of us. And then once it is, and like you said, we're ready to yell it from the rooftops.
Yes.
Follow me. This is the way.
It's true.
It is true. Yeah.
So then I'm going to move on to Songs of Songs, because that's one of my obsessions, my favorite books. And so I've been studying it and I've been praying on it because it's one of the hardest books. It's written by Solomon, but it's a lot of people have been trying to figure it out. And there's a lot of theories out there about who it is in the book and who Solomon is talking about. It's Songs of Songs is supposed to illustrate, you know, God's love. And again, remember how God uses marriage to tell the story of our relationship with him. And that's that sacrificial love and forgiveness and redemption. And so I wanted to share what I believe Songs of Songs is about. So, and it starts with, you know, the scene is a woman being courted by her beloved king. And then there's a wedding, there's marriage, and then they're separated, you know, for some reason they're separated, but she searches for him, and then there's restoration and there's blessing. So my big surprise is, who do y'all think the woman is? Because I think I know who the woman is.
Oh, that's the kind of surprise. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we know it's not Rahab because she's mm-mm. Obed's father and she was with somebody else. We know it's not Mary. Oh, man. So
do you have any guesses, Nina? You're on mute.
No.
Oh, there you go.
No.
Okay.
Is she in the Bible? First of all,
she is in the Bible. She is in the Bible.
Is she in the Chronicles?
Well, I'm just going to tell you.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm not going to guess it. It'll take me forever.
Because I would have never guessed it, but I kept praying and praying. I kept asking and asking God, and he led me to Abishag, which is the woman that was brought in to keep King David warm.
No.
Yep.
I
would have never thought so either, but she's a Shunammite.
She was a teenager, right?
She was a young girl, a teenager, a Shunammite. But if you go back and you read the story of David, you know, they describe her as
a young virgin,
you know, and that she was unsurpassed of beauty, mm-hmm. and she became the king's caregiver, and how they searched for a woman. So she had to have been trustworthy. You know, she had to have come from a good home, you know, like somebody with good standing, or, you know, close to the people in the kingdom, David's circle. Right. So, and it states over and over, she was a virgin and she attended to him, but was not intimate with him. So, and then if you remember, Adonijah, the brother, Solomon's brother, when David dies, remember Adonijah is trying, the brother's trying to take the throne from David.
Right.
And then the whole thing happens with Solomon, where he tries to go, where the prophet tells him, go and tell King David, because Adonijah is over there trying to take the throne, and it was already promised and to Solomon, and Solomon was already anointed. And then it states in the Bible that when Bathsheba goes to talk to the king to tell him what the brother is doing to hurry up and make
Solomon king,
it states Abishag the Shunammite is there. She's there during all that. You know, they could have asked her to leave, like, hey, you got to go, we got to talk to the king or whatever. But no, she's there. So I get the impression that she was there for a lot of the things, and that she was trusted, and that I could see where she would have interacted with Solomon, you know, because it was the end of David's reign. And so I can see where she was around and got to know some of them, you know.
Oh,
what does that mean? That she kept him warm.
She was, because he couldn't get warm, and they would cover him and put him blankets, but like his body, like he had body some heat. Type of illness.
Yeah, body yeah, with heat, body right? heat. So was yeah. she one of those, what do they call them?
Concubines? Well, when, isn't it concubines?
A concubine.
Okay, there you go.
So, she would have been, when David died, if she would have married Adonijah, the brother that was trying to take over, because remember, after David dies and they make Solomon king, the brother comes back and tells Bathsheba, well, go tell Solomon at least to let me have Abishag, her.
Ah.
Because had he married her, then it would have been considered that he was the next one, the next king, because the next king would take over all the current wives and concubines. Wow. But Solomon catches that, and he's like, no, kill him, because he had already told Adonijah, I won't kill you, but if you try to come back in and try and take the throne right. again, if you do anything evil or whatever, I am going to kill you. I won't kill you, but if you do something, then I will come back and kill you.
So she was the next in line from Bathsheba.
Who? That girl?
Yeah.
Well, and then Songs of Songs, they do say she's just a worker. So we know she's not like royalty.
Right. She's not royalty. I think she just comes from a good family, in the same way that Mary, you know, that Mary came from. When they look at Mary's background, she was pure, you know, a virgin, and she came from a good home. You know, they talk about her
but
the
I'm
family
wondering
that she came from
and all that. Again, she was asked to lay with King David and keep him warm.
But just to keep him warm. Yeah.
But just to keep him warm. And it's
he was an old guy by then.
Yeah,
he would have been in his late 60s, early 70s, but it states over and over, she was a virgin. She was never intimate with him. And just kept him
warm. Her that way.
It says it over and over.
Yes, it does.
And so, and then they keep, and they talk about her beauty. And then for the brother to notice her, like, this was a girl that was, they were noticing her, you know, like she was noticed.
So like maybe,
So I think that she's the one that he's talking about. And Solomon knew that too. And he knew, and I could see where God would send her and to bring her in front of Solomon, and where he could have chosen her and had a good, you're on mute. And he could have, you know, like where he see where God would have brought her to him as a chance to have a good, pure woman, you know?
Right. Wow. I like that.
I studied it. I was like, man, that makes total sense. And then, so let me go on, because Songs of Songs has 8 chapters. So in chapter 1, you know, they're just kind of eyeing each other. And they're, you know, that's when they're talking to each other. And I'll just read a little bit. It shows the woman says, "Oh, that he would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your caresses are more delightful than wine. The fragrance of your perfume is intoxicating. Your name is perfume poured out. No wonder young women adore you. Take me with you. Let's hurry. Oh, that the king would bring me to his chambers." And then it has that because back then, you know, she would have had her own little crew of women. Like if you were, you know, part of the court, then she would have had her own little group of what do they call them? The women in waiting, I guess. They say, "We will rejoice and be glad in you. We will celebrate your caresses more than wine." And then, you know, Solomon comes back with, "If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the flock and pasture your young goats near the shepherd's tents. I compare you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are beautiful with jewelry, your neck with its necklace. We will make gold jewelry for you, accent it with silver." We will make gold jewelry for you. So they're, you know, in chapter 1, they're eyeing each other, maybe flirting with each other, you know. And she comes across as a, like you said, Yvette, like she's like a worker. She comes across as a simple girl, you know?
Yeah.
So, and she doesn't see herself as beautiful, you know? So on chapter 2, she's lovesick over him, you know? But she's claiming him. "My love is mine and I am his." And then in chapter 3, she's saying he is not he's not in her bed, and she goes looking for him. But she says, "I will not let him go until I have brought him to my mother's house. He is the one." You know, she's saying he's the one. And this sounds like a proposal, because like she takes him home to her mother, like she takes him home to meet her mother. And she, you know, she's young, and she had to wait. I could see how he's, you know, he's the next king. And remember, at this time, King Solomon is still, he's not corrupt yet. Because remember, he starts building the temple and he's doing all of those things. And then there's a wedding. Chapter 4, "You have captured my heart. He's calling her my sister, my bride. You are a locked garden, a sealed spring." So now he's claiming her. "You are mine. No, you know, no one else can have you. You're a locked garden, a sealed spring." And then in chapter 5, there's separation. She says, "I was sleeping, but my heart was awake. A sound, my love knocking." She turns him away. He's knocking at the door, and it says that he has dew in his hair. So I'm thinking, okay, he was out partying. It's, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's trying to come in, you know. She turns him away. She's like, "I've already washed my feet. I've already changed my clothes." You know, she's upset. She turns him away. But then she regrets it immediately. She runs to the door. She goes looking for him, but he's gone, you know, and she talks about how she can still smell his fragrance on the door, on the lock. And then the young girls, they're telling her, you know, the maidens, they're telling her, why are you waiting for him? You know, why are you waiting for him? That there's other guys, you know, but she defends him. She defends him and she stands and she waits. So in chapter 6, you know, she says he's in his gardens, but she's still standing. She's saying, I am my love's and my love is mine. And then it sounds like he comes to his senses and he finds his way back to her, because then he comes back and he tells her, look away from me, for your eyes captivate me. And he tells her there are 60 queens and 80 concubines and young women without number, but my dove, my virtuous one, is unique. So he sees her as like, I can't compare you to any of the other women. And he might have left, you know, he might have left. He might have already been out there with the other women. He might have, you know, because he could marry over and over. And we know he did have many wives and all that stuff. But I see, to me, this is a story of standing and him going back to her. Like, he knows what he has at home. And that's, I think that's the wife of his youth. And because the way he talks about her, the way they talk about each other, like a first love, you know, mm-hmm. like a first true love. And you can't write about the stuff if you haven't felt it, you know,
right.
If you haven't been there.
So I think too, what the way she talks, you can see where she would be young.
You yes.
know? Because when we're young, we're teenagers. We're like, that's him.
He's yes.
Her. And the way
yes.
she talks, I love it. And I do like on chapter 1 where she says, why should I be like the one who veils herself besides the flock of your companion? And I think that's so good, because we talk about this, like, we shouldn't change for anyone. And she didn't change
right.
for him.
No. And I think he, you know, because think about it. Back then, the king slept separate from, they had their own chambers, you know, because then the king could have whoever he wanted. So he would have to come looking for her. So, and I can see the way they talk about her, like, she's somebody that the girls look up to. I could see that, you know, and she would have been in the presence of Bathsheba. And Bathsheba, remember, she came from a good family too, because her grandfather was a chief counselor to David. And then, you know, her husband was in his army, was, and so was her father.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see her being, you know, under the influence of good women, and her herself being the way she talks to the young women, that she's being a good influence to them, you know?
Yeah.
And he tells her too in chapter 6, an army with banners. You are an army with banners. So to me, he's telling us about her strength and her loyalty. You know, she's home. He knows what he has at home, and he knows where he's safe, and that's her.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 7, I am my love's and his desire is for me. He comes for her and sweeps her away. You know, he comes for her and he sweeps her away. They reunite. He notices how the other women look up to her. And she tells them, come, my love, let's go to the field. Let's spend the night among the henna blossoms. Let's go early to the vineyards. Let's see if the vine has budded. And they talk over and over. Like, she would have, it sounds like she had her own gardens, because it sounds like she was really taken care of, you know, like, she was in part of the court. She was part of the kingdom. She was considered royalty. And if he did marry her, then she would have been taken care of. And I think he made sure she was taken care of.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So then they enjoy their gardens, and she tells them, you know, I have at our doors, you know, we have every delicacy, both new and old. I have treasured them up for you, my love. Like, she was always waiting for him, you know,
to come back. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then in chapter 8, if only I could treat you like my brother, one who nursed at my mother's breast, I would find you in public and kiss you, and no one would scorn me. And I think of Prince William and Kate Middleton, you know, when they're in public, they can't be like all over each other.
Right.
And people make the biggest if they touch, you know, hold hands or any little
like a scandal.
Yes, that caress or anything, everybody's like, oh, they showed some type of affection.
Right.
And I think just because of those rules and stuff, you know, that she probably wasn't able to, but, and especially because if she was more of a simple girl, you know, at home, and where he was marrying all those other wives due to, you know, politics and all that stuff, because, you know, one was Pharaoh's daughter and all of that. So mm-hmm. I could see where he kept her over here, you know. And so they're reunited, you know, and then she ends it with, "For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as unrelenting as Sheol. Love's flames are fiery flames. Flames are fiery flames, an almighty flame. A huge torrent cannot extinguish love. Rivers cannot sweep it away." And then it makes a note of her brothers. "If she is a wall, we will build a silver barricade on her." And then she states, "I am a wall, and my breast like a tower. So in his eyes, I have become like one who finds peace." So I think in the end, she's talking about their love and how strong it is, and that they found peace and joy.
I think it's beautiful. I love Songs of Songs.
And you know, the way he describes her too, through Songs of Songs, it lines up with Proverbs, you know? Mm-hmm. It lines up with the Proverbs 31 and what how they describe a noble woman.
Right.
You know,
I think it's important. And I think we've talked about this, you know, for him to turn back to her, there's only one person that could have fixed that for him.
Exactly.
God.
Yes. And he knew, because remember, he knew God. He knew about God. He built the mm-hmm. temple. He had that relationship with God. And plus he had all this wisdom. So I think that he was out there and he did all that stuff, but he knew it was wrong. But I think he was able to find his way back home. He knew where, you know, who his wife, because I'm sure he, because if you read Proverbs, you know, he's the one that says,
he warns his children.
Yeah, right? Yes, he does.
Be careful. Don't listen to the wayward. Is it the wayward women? Or
yes, he says it over and over. Don't go with the wayward women. Mm-hmm. You know, take pleasure in your own wife at your youth. And then he warns against adultery. You know, and he says too that that an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, "I've done nothing wrong." You know, and he has a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones in there. You know, so I think that he was one that went out there. He learned
the hard way.
The hard way. And then, but that the his wife, the one from Songs of Songs, was the one from his youth. And that he came to his senses, and that in the end that he had found peace and joy with her.
With her.
Well, that was interesting. All that it was that lady, the same one that laid with King David and ends up marrying.
I think. I mean, to me, it made total sense. I could see how it would be her, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because when she laid with David, he wasn't married at all.
No, he wasn't king yet, and he wasn't married yet. He wasn't married yet. Yeah.
Wow. So it makes me wonder too. They both were probably virgins, so that can be where a lot of.
I don't know if he would have been a virgin. He was still a boy. He was still a boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if back then for him. I mean, I hope so. It would have been good if he was, but you know, I think that. Him being interesting young question. And all that, and her being, you know, and they talk about her beauty over and over about her beauty. So there's no way that he didn't see her in that way, you know?
But I wonder if she might have had, I mean, because I think this is for all of us, like for me, for sure, I'm going to speak for myself, but like, you know, low self-esteem in certain areas, because she does say how she was dark, but she worked outside.
Yeah, I think so. I think she was a simple girl. I don't think that she saw herself as somebody worthy or somebody, you know, like, I don't think.
Ready to be with the king.
Yeah, I don't think she saw herself as a queen, you know?
Right, right.
So
I would suggest too, I think my husband and I read this together, and I read the woman, he read the man. And I think everyone should do that if you can.
Ooh.
And it was really good. And then, you know, again, we read Tony's study Bible, and then his footnotes are really great on the whole book. And one of the things that I like about it, and I think talking about Solomon and how he went back to his wife, on here, it says monogamy is holy, beautiful, and exciting. And I think that sums up this book, where they're together, the courting, the wedding, you know, yes, they separated, but coming back, he realized where his peace and joy would be.
Right. And if you think about it, that's God, right? That's God, that he's always there. It's like the, you know, that he's always there. And I could see where he would have used this woman to, you know, bring him back in and to restore him, you know, because remember, it still had to come from, the promise still had to come from that line. So I could see where God would work through this woman. And that's what God does in our marriages. If we decide to stand, if we decide to stand for our marriage, and the fact that he took care of her, that I think that he would have taken care of her, and I could relate to it, you know, because in my stand, God took care of me, you know, and he took care of me in all kinds of ways, you know, where, and that's what he says, if you stay obedient to me, just like he told them, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be fine. But if you disobey, then, you know, you're kind of like on your own. So, but if you obey him, he will take care of you, and he will treat you like a royal daughter. You know, he will treat you like a queen, you know, and like an heir, you know, he would treat you like, it's just, I could totally relate to that. And I could totally see her being taken care of, being safe, being protected, you know, having, providing for her and all of that. And she was never alone. She had, you know, those women around her, her friends and all that stuff. So I'm like, man, that's a story of standing and restoration.
Because I would think that she would have heard, like, just leave. He's not coming back. Look what he's doing. I'm sure it was the same back then too. You think, like, she did have some friends to be there with her, but I'm sure some other people were probably like, don't wait for him. Don't wait for him.
Right. And they tell her, why are you waiting for him? Like, what makes him more special than any of the other guys? And she defends him. She defends him. She's like, no, that's my love. He's this, this, and this, and this. Like, she's not going anywhere. She's standing for him.
She's standing for him.
She's waiting for him. That's my love. You know, I am his and he is mine.
Mm-hmm. And remember, there's a whole bunch of other queens. She's not the only one. He's been with so many.
Right. Yeah, so he's been married.
Not to get discouraged, because this is a story, a real story of somebody who's been with so many, and there's forgiveness, and, you know, in this story. So
you would have to forgive a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is, you know, it is possible. It does happen. And, you know, just so that everybody knows out there that, you know, if who says, you know, well, my husband or my wife has been with so many, that it does not matter. You know, that God can restore.
And there were consequences for the stuff that he did, because it costed the kingdom. You know, the kingdom fell apart after Solomon, you know, and the sons that he had were from the foreign women, and everything just got divided. And if you read after that, you know, every king, he did what was evil in God's eyes, the kingdom fell apart. He did what was evil in God's eyes, the kingdom fell apart. It just fell apart piece by piece. So there were consequences for what he did. But we need to take that, you know, the wisdom that he gives us, and learn from that, and not try get out of that cycle that sin and a slave to sin. And then, you know, where we're crying out and repeating that over and over, you know, because we don't have to, because once you're restored with God, then it's you're under his blessing. You're under his covering. You know, as long as you're obedient, you find peace and joy in even the scariest times.
Right. Right.
No, that was very, that's a lot of good information, Lauren, and a nice surprise.
Yes, and everything to find that out. Goes to show where he's the same yesterday, today, the past, the present, yes. and the yep. future.
Yes.
He forgave yep. the one who was after his own heart. He was a murderer and an adulterer. Mm-hmm. This yep. one, that you know, he was a big adulterer. He was yes. an organizer yep. and he mm-hmm. forgave him. But you're right. The consequences still have to come because that's how God is. He's holy. Right. He yep. still has to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. we just have to, I think we talked yep. about this. We have to walk through Babylon.
The fire. Yep.
Take yes.
judgment yep. and, but yep. stay on track with God.
Well, it, you know, it's unfortunate because had he stayed with her, you know, it would have been a totally different life because he went out there and just to live with a bunch of regret. You know, he was out there and just, it sounds like there was nothing but regret there. And he made it back home to her and they were, you know, restored, but don't wait for that. You know, why
you wish they would have gave us a timeline, because that, I think that would have been interesting. How long did she have to stand before he came?
I don't think they're gonna say that. Then you won't want to walk through that. You're gonna be like, forget it, because a year will seem long.
She was out in that garden for a while.
Yeah,
that's true.
A lot of plants out there.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, I mean, it sounds beautiful, and the gardens and the vineyards and all that, you know, all the beautiful joy, stuff that right? they had back like then. And she had,
she was happy.
So
no matter what, through everything, it seemed like she, chose joy over the heartache and this. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yvette, do you have a closing prayer?
Mm-hmm. I do. And it's one of Solomon's prayers. It's in the second book of Chronicles. Chapter 6, verse 14. He said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth who keeps his gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Goodbye.